You're listening to the unofficial Shopify podcast. This podcast is brought to you by WebsiteRescues.com. Are you making the most of your store? To download a totally free guide with 25 conversion rate optimization ideas you must know about to effectively optimize your Shopify store, head to WebsiteRescues.com and fill out the form. Shave off hours of guesswork and start growing your revenue.
Welcome back to the unofficial Shopify podcast. I'm your host, Kurt Elster, and joining me today is Josh Hyland. And I met Josh Hyland in the Talk Shopify Slack. I know I've mentioned that before. If you're interested in Shopify at all, and you love Slack, and you will as soon as you use it, head to talkshopify.com, and you could join it. It's a great resource. You can ask questions, find people, network. It is fantastic. And in there is where I met Josh Hyland, who I had seen floating around the internet. Because he just not long ago released a book called Shopify Empire. And Shopify Empire is a great example of niching down. It's this wonderful, and an info product, it's this wonderful resource on SEO. Josh was nice enough to give me a review copy. I read it cover to cover. It's very approachable, isn't going to be, you know, it's not for an SEO professional, it's for someone who really owns a store, is starting with Shopify store, has a Shopify store, and wants to rest easy knowing that they've got their SEO dialed in right, and you know, and be able to talk to a seasoned SEO professional. So actually, I read it, and prior to reading it, I didn't do basic SEO stuff. And someone came to me, it just happened the same day I finished reading it, and asked for basic SEO stuff. So I said, sure, let me go through your store, and I'll do an SEO setup. And I just applied all the best practices in his book. So even for me as a many-year seasoned Shopify veteran, it was still useful. So there's value no matter where you are in there. But joining us is Josh Hyland. And Josh, how are you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for that wonderful intro, Kurt. How are you?
Good. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Redlands, California, so 60 miles east of Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I love California. I've been following the water drought and I have a perverse hope that it drives home prices down, just for my own needs so I could move there.
Ironically, it's raining today. It's raining really hard today.
Well, that's good. The last couple days. You desperately need it.
It is.
But that doesn't bode well for rent prices for me.
No, it's sometimes I move, you know, I travel all over the US and I see some of the housing prices in other places and it just blows my mind. Like, what am I doing wrong? why don't I move?
All right. So tell us, who is Josh Hyland?
Josh Hyland. Well, in 2008, I read Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek, and it had a huge impact on who I was and what was going on. So I decided to, create a product to sell, a physical product. So I looked around, found a niche, and I started with men's hair pomade of all things. And I wanted to find a place to sell it online. And I knew who I was, you know, and I'd spend the whole time building an e-commerce solution and not focusing on the product that I was trying to sell. So following the 4-Hour Workweek principles, I tried to hand that off to somebody. And I did my research and I found Shopify and I fell in love with it instantly because it was built by geeks. Right. So Toby, the CEO of Shopify, is a developer. So it had a lot of really nice developer features in it that attracted me to it. So in 2008, I started working with the Shopify platform and got my friends onto that platform. And I've never left. So my hair product business, it didn't work out that well. I ended up selling it at a loss, just getting out from underneath it. But the upshot of that was I got really familiar with the Shopify platform and started building apps on that. So my whole journey with Shopify came from being a user to building apps and helping my friends, then launching those apps into the public space, into the app store, working through that. And then, through the apps, you know, we'll dig into it deeper, but, through that comes the book. And now I have my own agency, helping people with their Shopify stores through that. So,
now what's the name of that agency? Let's plug it right now.
Sure. New Leaf Labs.
Okay.
So you can find us at newleaflabs.com.
Very good. So when was your first experience with SEO? Was it for your hair pomade thing?
No, I've been in the computer space for a really, really long time. So I got interested when I first saw Google, when it first launched, pretty much. I was in college and sitting in one of the labs, and one of the teaching assistants was showing us this new thing that was going to change the world. And it was Google. Hmm. And instantly when I saw it, this was in 98, I think. So 98, 99. And I was still using Lycos and Dogpile and Yahoo and other search engines. And right when we saw it, I typed in my name and it found my website right away. So it was really interesting seeing just out of the box, Google was this really profound thing. So I was always interested in how search engines worked and trying to, you know, manipulate them a little bit, but never getting too deep into it until I had a product that I was really trying to sell. And then at that point, then understanding getting traffic to my sites was very important. So dug into that a little bit deeper. And that's where my first app in the Shopify app store comes from. Was at the time, back in 2008, Shopify's SEO offerings were pretty poor. And the themes, the way the themes supported SEO, basic SEO, just didn't exist. So I built an app to bridge that. So that really plunged me into the SEO world, you know, from a very basic sense, just, you know, digging and seeing what I could do deeper. So I've really been living in that space since 2008.
So really you did for Shopify what Yoast did for WordPress.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Yoast is amazing when it comes to WordPress, and I've looked to him for a lot of inspiration over the years. But yeah, we were one of the first ones in that space.
That's cool. That is very cool. I mean, if anyone's familiar with that. But yeah, no, I've seen that. I've seen that app knocking around forever, so I knew I was immediately familiar.
Yeah, SEO Meta Manager is the name of it, and it's a good app for what it does. With the latest release of the Shopify Admin, you know, it's got some limited use now, but I'm working on some new features that we'll be rolling out here soon that will, you know, catapult it into that next level.
Very cool. So tell me, why does SEO matter and why should I care?
Why SEO?
This is a devil's advocate question.
It is. Why does it matter and why should you care? Do you like selling products through your Shopify store? Do you like people knowing who you are, having some, you know, we search all the time, everywhere, from our phones, from our watches now, from our computers. We speak to the devices, have Siri or other things do searches for us. So you really want, when somebody's looking for something, you want to be at the top. The statistics around how search engine ranks play into people clicking through to your site is insane. So basically, if your store isn't landing on the first page of Google, one of the first 10 results that comes up when somebody searches for something, the odds of you being found are less than 1%. So the top three links on a Google search results page gain over 95% of all the click-through traffic. So you can have a really nice website, something great that's built with Shopify, beautiful theme. You know, you spent a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of effort on it. And then there's just no customers. So you can do as much outbound marketing that you want.
Which I see actually a lot in that scenario. People are very worried. What am I going to do when I launch my store and they have it password protected? I have to tell people, like, look, no one cares. Nobody cares. And that's, the hardest part is not building the store. It's getting traffic to it.
That's it. That's the whole thing why SEO matters. So getting organic search traffic, you can pay advertisements to Google and Facebook, and you can dump tons of money into those ads, and you know, you'll get some traffic for it, but that may be an inverse relationship of how much money you're putting out versus how much money you're making from those customers. So SEO,
And if you don't, you know, unless you have a huge margin on your product or an extremely narrow niche, you know, with not a lot of competitors, you could be paying, you know, a dollar per click, and then you're not going to get if you're lucky, you'll convert, you know, 1 out of 20 of those clicks.
Oh yeah.
So it could very realistically with pay-per-click ads cost you $20 per click. And unless you're making, you know, $200-$300, then that doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And most of the stores I see aren't selling products of that high end. Right.
Right.
So, you know, it really doesn't make a lot of sense. So I think of it as just kind of a health check for a website, right? It's it's one of the things that you need to do that a lot of people don't think about, even when building their store and putting it together. And that's really what my book is about, is helping people get the mindset of, you know, so SEO isn't a separate piece of your business. It's actually kind of ingrained into the framework of how you conduct your business so that you're putting things out in an optimal way so that Google and other search engines will understand what you're trying to sell and move you towards the top of those search ranks.
Yeah. There's a mindset shift there that has to happen
where people don't,
you know, people often ask for it as like, oh, you know, as an after the fact thing where they say, oh, can you do SEO on my site? Well, it's not right. A magic wand. You know, I cannot sprinkle the SEO dust onto your website.
Yeah. And if I could, most of the time in those cases, it's almost a rebuild at that point.
Yeah. 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 If they're too far into it, it's like, what are you going to do?
Sure.
So actually that leads us into my next question is, what kind of time investment is SEO?
Well, like I said, it's one of the things that you need to, if you're doing it right, you should be doing it from the get-go. So when you add, say, a product to Shopify, when you upload new images, you should be adding alt tag information on those images. That gives more information about what the image is, and that will help Google place that image into image searches or give some context, more context to the page about what you're trying to do. So something as simple as adding a new product image, there's an SEO opportunity around that. Even drilling down to even how you name the file. So, you know, instead of image123.jpg, you know, have it be Dodgers baseball hat.jpg.
Oh, that's interesting. I'd always wondered if it read the file. I didn't.
It's you know, there's debate around that. And that's the thing. It can't hurt, right? So I always tell people things like that are the very minutia. But if you're resizing images and manipulating them in, say, Photoshop, you know, optimizing them before you upload them to your store, why not? What's it going
to
hurt?
Yeah, why not do that 1% additional effort to see if it changes things?
Yeah, and that's the mindset that I'm talking about. It's a lot of these little 1% that as you're working, you know, it's just part of your business at that point. So, you know, image is a great example because that's one thing that I see a lot of stores, they just miss that opportunity around it. So that's not really a time investment. That's just, no, we're just going to do this. So in terms of things that are time investments, I would say copywriting. So a lot of stores out there I see don't have a lot of description around their products that they're trying to sell. It's just here's a picture of it and maybe here's a title. Or if there is a description, it's just one or two lines.
Or it's copied and pasted from the manufacturer.
Absolutely. And that's probably the worst thing that you could do, right? Google and other search engines favor uniqueness. So if you have the same – the reason for that is if you have the same description as everyone else out there, why are you relevant? Why do you matter, right? What value do you add to the customers? So yeah, that is a time investment, is making sure that your copy is good, that it's meaningful, and that it's rich with the keywords and phrases that you think people would be searching for to find that product, but without sounding like a robot, right? So Google's really smart about reading between the lines on what's being said and what's not being said these days. Hmm. So every couple of years, Google changes their search algorithms to, you know, keep up with the latest things that are happening as people figure out how to game the system. So one of the latest changes that have happened is Google is now looking at what is not being said on the pages. So if somebody's jamming just a bunch of keyword copy in, there's certain phrases that probably shouldn't be there if you're really a professional around it. And you know, people are still trying to figure out how that works before Google makes their next change. But but I would say copy is a place that people should really invest time in. And if that means getting a copywriter or a copy editor, then that's probably something you should invest in.
And then, you know, when doing that, I think the goal there should be to write for the customer and the person just with unique content. Because I've seen people look for a quote SEO copywriter, and that doesn't sound like a good idea to me.
No, it's absolutely not. And another thing is when you're writing, help figure out what the voice of your shop is. Right. So the example I use in the book is if you're selling high-end men's shoes, right, versus kids' toys, the language and copy should sound different. And that just adds to what we call user trust. So people understanding what your product is, feeling comfortable with it, and wanting to purchase from you.
Yeah, we talk a lot about that with conversion rate optimization, is half the battle is just making people trust you.
Yeah, yeah, huge. So it's an interesting conversation because you really can't talk about SEO without talking about conversion rates because really that's what you're trying to do. So getting people to your page is important, but getting people to convert is also the goal, right? So all of these things are interdependent on each other.
So in talking about, we've talked about alt tags and product descriptions. Those are all examples of on-site SEO. And I always view on-site SEO as, you're just trying to make it easier for a machine to understand the site. You're not trying to trick anyone or anything. You're just, essentially Google is not a person. It needs to understand the site. We're doing as much as possible to just make it as easy for the machine to understand what you're doing here. Is that accurate? Yeah,
that's a great way to describe it, yeah. And and also with on-site, I like to lump in a little bit of optimization also because page speed does matter now to Google in terms of ranking, and so does mobile. I know people can go back and listen to some great episodes you have about, Mobilegeddon and things like that.
Oh, with Jonathan Stark. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. So those, you do get bumps in ranks now for having great sites that are truly responsive, they work great on mobile, and they're fast, right? So on-site is, yes, it's for the machines, but it's not just, putting out content. It's actually having a good website that is usable.
Okay. So focusing, really on the user experience has its own SEO benefit. And if you're already on Shopify, you're lucky because you have access to a content delivery network for speed. And the premium themes, are very good for being mobile friendly. The only catch I have seen some sites end up unusually large. Either the theme isn't optimized right, or someone uploads a 1 meg JPEG as a slider image.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, that's why you and I are in the business we are, right?
Yes. Yeah.
There's always room for improvements. And that's why I wrote a book.
Yeah. No, and it is a good book. And quickly, where can people grab that book from?
ShopifyEmpire.com.
Okay. And we'll circle back on that too. All right. So we talked about on-site SEO. The other kind of SEO is off-site SEO. So what's the difference there?
Off-site SEO is optimizing your site for, out of your control, right? So everything that's on-site is typically in your control. So a Shopify user could, adjust their theme, adjust their products, all of those things. That all falls under on-site. So off-site is how does Google view you from the lens of others, right? So popularity is something that plays into search engine rankings. So for example, I would rather have Huffington Post or CNN link to my store or my website, one link from them, as opposed to 100 links from blogger accounts that have existed for a week. And the reason for that is it's a popularity contest in a lot of ways. So offsite SEO is, a lot of it boils down to backlinks. That's one of the easier ways to look at it, is getting people to notice you and link to you.
Yeah, I think the way I describe it is each backlink is a vote of confidence.
Yes, absolutely.
But not all links are created equal.
No, not at all. So, that's why in the past we've seen a lot of productization of blog comments and spam. It's like if you've had a WordPress site, the kind of spam volume you get. It's ridiculous. And that's why there's links to Viagra and a bunch of these other things. These link buying services out there.
Right.
If I have one thing to tell people, do not do this ever. Please listen to these words. Do not use a link buying service.
Yeah, because this can genuinely penalize your rankings.
Oh, huge ways. In the book, I call out, I forget what it is, for $150, you can get 8,000 backlinks to your site. That's really bad because they're going to be low quality. They're going to be spammy. And Google's going to say, who is this guy? He's contributing to the garbage online. Let's downvote him. This guy's kicked out.
All right. So if each backlink is a vote of confidence and not all backlinks are created equal, how do I go about getting non-spammy backlinks?
That's a really good question. And it pertains to everybody that has a website out there. Biggest thing I suggest that people do is reach out to who your audience is. Figure out, you have a product that you're selling. You know who your target audience is. Find those people online. Find people that are leaders in that space. A good example is baby products. Find mommy bloggers. Find people that are already talking about these types of products. Get them to review your products. Give them a discount code to place on their website so that their readers can get a discount, so everybody wins. So they write about you, their readers get a discount, you get people coming to your store buying your products. So forums are another good way to reach out to people. You might not get the backlinks, but it's all about raising awareness. But yeah, finding people that are writing about what's going on in your space, hugely important.
Yeah, the I think blogger outreach is incredibly impressive, especially if you have a product. You just say to someone, hey, you know, I love your blog. I saw that you reviewed the similar product. I've got, you know, this product. If I send it to you, you know, I'd appreciate it. You can keep it. Just write an honest review of it. And by the law of reciprocity, often, you know, they're going to write a very good review because you gave them this free gift.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think discount codes go a long way with that also, because then it gives them more reason to write, and it gives the readers more reason to come to your store. So for the next 30 days, you get 10% off, or the first 50 people get $5 off or free shipping.
So we're going to get that backlink, and we're going to combine it with a promotional offer where you say, you know, you're saying to the person, hey, I'm going to help you look like a hero to your readers.
Yeah, right. And even if you want to take it a step further, you can write I wouldn't write reviews. That gets real, you know, real gray area, but I would, you know, even offer a guest post, right? So, hey, you know, you have a really great blog. Can I write something for you? So it might just be you write an article for them talking about what's happening in the space or the industry. You're a member of that community and in that space, developing authority.
So I've heard the phrase, content is king. We have all heard this, right? And we touched on a little bit with on-site SEO. But how do I create content? That is the hard part for most people.
Yeah, content is very difficult. Aside from product descriptions, which are generally going to be a one-time type thing, I suggest that everybody who has a Shopify store should also have a blog. So if you have products to sell, you have a story on why you're selling that and why people should buy from you. So you can very quickly come up with a list of 10, 20 things that you could write about. Like, who are you? Why are you running this store? How long have you been doing it? What's new in your industry? What's different about the products you're selling? Why are the products you're selling important for people? How do they impact people's lives? What type of things are you doing with the money that you gain from your store to give back to charitable causes? I mean, these are real easy, quick answers that most people can answer that can turn into really easy blog posts that are content, right? So if you get in a blog posting schedule of like once a week, you've already have – there's a few months worth of blog posts.
No, absolutely. So, yeah, the you know, the trick I use is if someone asks me a great question and I, you know, I find that my response to it in my email was really good, then I know, oh, look, I've got a draft for a blog post. So if you go back through and look at like customer questions, I guarantee just sitting in your sent mail folder are blog posts waiting for you.
Absolutely. Or if you want to take it a step further, like my case, you have a book.
What's a book beyond a series of blog posts with some structure and editing?
Right. So the FAQs became I had FAQ canned messages for my customers.
Okay.
Of my applications and SEO type questions. Those turned into a small – well, I can expand on these. Maybe it's a small little PDF ebook that I send people. Then it's like, well, let's just expand this and format it a little bit better, and now it's a whole full-blown book. So it really came from the questions – that my customers were asking me.
And I like that, you know, the strategy you gave there, you know, essentially just for tackling problems. If I tell someone, go write a book and you're an authority, well, that's, you know, telling them, hey, here's a glacier you have to conquer. Right. But what you did, you know, was break it into ice cubes, and then it becomes much more manageable. It's like, all right, just, you know, write an FAQ, write the table of contents. All right, you know, write a paragraph in each. And then very quickly you discovered, oh, look, I have a book.
Yeah, so – you know, if you can do that and generate a whole info product like book, you can definitely do this on a blog. So I suggest people do that. And then at the same time, getting people to link to those blog posts. So sharing those on social media, sharing if you have an interesting blog post, leave a comment if you read another article online that could relate to a blog post that you wrote. You know, and this isn't really for a backlink, because most blog comments don't there are no follow. They don't really count as a backlink. But you can get people traffic coming over saying, oh, you know, I wrote something similar to this, or I expanded on this idea over at my blog post.
Oh, cool. Yeah, no, that is a – I've seen that before, and I will – even knowing full well what it is, I will still click through and read it.
Yeah, as long as it's not spammy and you're adding genuine content, I think that's totally cool.
Yeah, if it's relevant, then of course, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, okay. And again, you can hire people to help you with this, right? So copywriters, they can give you ideas and even polish up your writing if you don't think you're that great at it.
Oh, yeah. I still use – I'll sometimes use a copy editor. They're inexpensive too.
Yeah, they are, really, for what it is.
Yeah, and it really adds a lot of polish to it. Okay, so what's one thing – this is my last question. What's one thing every Shopify store owner could do right now, today, to improve their store?
What they could do to improve their store, one thing. Wow.
there's too many.
There is.
What's your go-to thing that you check?
Go-to thing. Make sure you have meaningful titles, meta descriptions, and product descriptions as well. So those are three very distinct pieces of data. By default, typically in themes, your title tag is what the product title is, and that's not always what you want to have there. So your title is what's shown in Google search engine results, and that's what's in bold on a Google search result page, and that's really the people's first impression of what they see about your store in a search result. So you want to grab attention with that. And then underneath that is the meta description. So having good meta descriptions is important also, because that's that next hook that pulls people in. Why should somebody click on your link? So even if you have a beautiful store and you're doing all these things, you have to have a compelling reason for people to visit your store. So focus on those for your products. And at the same time, work on your image alt tags also. So just on the product page, doing those things, I've seen tremendous results with people, because it's just something that people don't think about and don't do. And if I could slide another one in there, start a blog. Everybody with a Shopify store has the ability to have a blog. Just start one, start writing content and getting it out there.
Perfect. So if I want to learn more about you, where do I go?
You can go to newleaflabs.com. That's our agency, or Shopify Empire, which is the book. You can reach me at either one of those places. Or if you want to get real funky, you can go to joshhyland.com.
Cool. Yeah. All right. I will link to all of those so you will get extra backlinks.
Thank you. See, look how easy that is.
Yeah. So that was easy. And even like this podcast is another form. You know, like the podcast exists. People link to the podcast. The podcast in turn links to my productized consulting offering, Website Rescues, and that has SEO value.
It does. And I think that this whole network also, so building a network within your niche, I mean, we met through Talk Shopify, another right. Shopify resource. And here we are again, you know, we both have products and offerings. Network with people inside of your niche, and a lot of this stuff will grow organically.
Yeah, I wouldn't be, you know, don't be, a lot of people are afraid to talk to someone who they view like as the slightest bit as a competitor. And it's like, no, that's not, you can't have that starvation mentality, because there's more than enough customers.
Yeah, I think you said it best. I'm trying to think of what you said in one of the podcasts that you put
out. I know a lot of say, rising tide lifts all boats.
That's it. I wrote that down because I love that notion, right? On paper, technically, we're probably competitors in the Shopify space, but there's so much going on that there's more for than either of us can handle.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Even if we do different things, but even if we did but we have the same audience. Though even if we did exactly the same thing, it wouldn't matter, because in no universe can we both take on all of, you know, every Shopify store owner.
Yeah. So don't be afraid to reach out to people in your niche, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, for sure. That is good advice. You know, let go of that starvation mentality.
Yeah.
Okay. That all loads of good advice, truth bombs, nuggets of wisdom. I said, you know, if I were a store owner listening to this, I would run through, you know, listen through this with a notebook and just write, make a list of to-dos of action items based on your advice. And then, you know, try it. If you see value in that, then absolutely go buy Shopify Empire, or just, you know, go buy it right now and save yourself the note-taking, because essentially you got a very high-level review of that. The Shopify Empire, I will plug it for you. It's got screenshots of exactly what you do in Shopify. You know, it really is a step-by-step manual. It's like one part step-by-step manual, you know, one part theory basic theory and introduction on SEO. So it's a very good resource.
Yeah, and one thing I throw in there is I think that Shopify is a great platform for people starting out with online stores, and it really allows you the flexibility to grow. My whole idea behind writing this book was to give people an SEO resource that was as consumable as Shopify is to use. So it's not the most technical book, but just by reading through it and implementing what's in there, you're going to be far and ahead of most online stores right now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's I would agree with that assessment.
And I also want to throw things out there for your listeners. So if you use the discount code unofficial Shopify podcast at checkout, you'll get 10% off your order.
Fantastic. Now I get to look like a rock star. I pre-negotiated that rate for you.
That's right. It's all Kurt.
It's not true at all. But yeah, no, it is a good. That's good. Thank you.